baby, come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining, I do.
Come over here, kid, will you, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Mastitos,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious. Welcome to Mouthful. Delicious, most delicious hour. How are you doing? Rain, glorious rain. Have you loved it? I have. I even went to the farmer's market today. Hope you made it to at least one. The farmers were there. That was interesting. The rain was supposed to warm things up, but man, it was cold at the Sebastopol farmer's market today and cold in West Sebastopol. Anyway, I've just been thrilled that we finally have some rain. We have a good show tonight. I hope every show is good, but this one I've been really excited about, partly because there's something going on that I hadn't realized, and I love learning new things. And also, it's always fun to sort of peek through the curtains and get a glimpse of the future. And that's a little bit of what we're going to do tonight. We have three wineries represented. We have James Lucchini of Francis Ford Coppola Winery up in Geyserville. Welcome, James.
Thank you.
Good to see you here. Last time I saw you, I think, was by the pool,
yes.
Either by the pool or by the bar. We also have Dane Gaffney of Inman Family Wines. Welcome, Dane.
Thank you for having me tonight.
And then we have Jessica LaBounty of Bensinger Vineyards. And first, I have to thank all of you for coming out, not just in the rain, but when there was, a big sports thing on television. So I appreciate you coming, and I appreciate you for tuning in. So this new development I'm talking about, electric car charging stations at wineries with tasting rooms. So people can come enjoy themselves at the winery while they're getting their car charged. I assume that's sort of the summary of the point. Okay. If I have it correct, Inman Family Wines was, were you guys the first?
Yes, we were the first privately owned, publicly available car charging station in Sonoma County. Back in May in 2010 is when we installed ours.
Mm-hmm.
So that just means anyone in the public who wants to come use it is welcome to, as long as we're open.
Really? So somebody can just drive over and charge their car?
Absolutely. And it only takes about 45 minutes to get an 80% charge on a vehicle. So you can come, taste,
enjoy our winery.
That's like
your iPhone. Charging your iPhone.
Yeah, you can come hang out, enjoy some wine, and hang out on our patio, and we can give you a little vineyard tour. And by the 45 minutes goes by, and you're ready to head home, and you've had your wine, and you're all charged up. So
cool. Now, how many cars are you able to charge at a time?
We can only do one at a
time.
Yeah, we have one charger currently. Yes.
Okay. And then, Bensinger, what do you have?
Sure. We put ours in late November, so it's been up for just 8 weeks or so over the holiday. And we have primarily one charging station, but there is a backup kind of option at a much lesser voltage that takes a longer time, but it almost plugs into the same amp as like a normal electrical outlet.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a car already using the primary station, the second car could get something in
mm-hmm.
the interim.
Okay. And then at Coppola, you can charge four cars, right?
Correct. We have two charging stations. And again, like Jessica has, one is the main power and then the other is a little bit lower voltage, so it takes a little bit longer to charge, but we do have two.
Mm-hmm. And I have to ask a question that shows my ignorance. When people have an electric car at home, how are they charging? I mean, is there a standard way? Do you plug into your outlet?
In the case I know of a Nissan Leaf, they have to have Nissan come out and install a special unit in their, I guess if they have a garage or something or wherever they choose to install it. So Nissan does come out for that. I'm not sure about Teslas, which are the other main car we typically get. Volts also. Volts can plug into the house. It's a different voltage line than your standard socket, but it's easily installed by an electrician.
So it's not purely just, you know, invite your friend over and say, sure, I got an extension card. What's the usage been like since you've introduced these?
We see a little bit of usage. Mr. Coppola owns a Leaf himself, and we have several others on our property in the Napa Valley. And so when people travel from one winery to the other, they stop and kind of check, plug in while they're having a meeting or doing what they're needing to do. So,
And then what about visitors? Have you seen much? I mean, it's certainly the downtime when it comes to visiting wineries.
We've seen a few. We have a card for them to use so they can use it free of charge. So
That was going to be my next question. What's the cost? Right now, nothing.
Nothing.
How about at Inman? You've had a little bit longer to observe it. What sort of usage have you gotten?
Well, we've had pretty solid usage. We tend to get a lot of Teslas and Nissan Leafs, and we've had one Volt. Most of the people come from the city, San Francisco area. We also get a little North Bay action from Leafs more so because their range is typically about 85 miles, and coming from San Francisco to our particular winery is roughly about 65 miles.
And you should say where you're located.
We're located in the Russian River Valley on the corner of Olivet and Piner Road, just west of the 101, west of Santa Rosa as well.
Right, west of Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
Okay. And I noticed you have a bottle of something bubbly sitting next to you.
We do.
And I thought perhaps while we're having this conversation, we should do a little wine tasting at the same time.
That would make this a little bit more interesting.
Why don't you start and tell us what you're going to pour?
Well, we've got our brand new 2009 Brut Rosé Nature. It's our first sparkling wine, and it was made for Simon, who's Kathleen's husband, our winemaker and owner. Kathleen Inman, for their 20th anniversary, made a sparkling wine, and we all get to enjoy it. So it's not a bad present for everybody.
Great. Well, go ahead and pour.
Absolutely.
And we'll be tasting wines from all three of these wineries. And I should also, Jessica, have you describe where Benziger is. Sonoma Mountain, of course. But what would you say, Glen Ellyn?
Yeah, we do. We actually describe it as the tiny hamlet of Glen Ellyn.
Okay.
How's that for wine country romance? But yeah, just in between Sonoma proper and Kenwood is the Glen Ellyn. And we are up on the mountain, just below wonderful. Jack London Park.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful property. And
thank
it's
you.
Actually been a while since I've been there. And I know you've just been doing so many environmental things since I was there. I don't think I've been there since you really made the full leap into...
Biodynamics,
thank you.
Oh, goodness, then you do owe us a visit. That's
yes.
been a good long time now.
Yeah.
It's great to come up and share with guests that may not even be totally aware of what kinds of farming we're doing up on the mountain. Because it's such a visual experience. It's shaped like a bowl. We have two fantastic tours that run all day, every day throughout the year. And through our evolution into this really holistic farming practices, we've built up just a ton of farm animals and gardens and wetlands and ponds. And if you come up right now, you see the baby sheep jumping around through the vineyards, and they go from block to block and mow down the cover crop. And so it's a pretty special place to visit.
Yeah, it is. It's I've always loved whenever I've come out there, and I do look forward to seeing the changes. I have not been to Inman, so I'll have to correct that sometime this
spring.
Yes,
absolutely. Love to have you.
And I've loved your wine since the first one I've tasted. And this is, do you want to describe this sparkling wine? It's quite lovely.
Yeah, so it's a super dry, which means there's no sugar added to the dosage.
My favorite style.
Our favorites as well. And the nice rosé color comes from our estate Pinot Noir, and it's all made from our estate fruit as well. So, which we grow organically as well. And it's a natural wine, so there's nothing added to it, no chemicals or anything. And it doesn't have sulfites also. So it's meant to be drink soon.
It's very refreshing. And it's got this little bit of plushness on the palate, but then right on top of that plushness is this very lean, bright, almost citrus flavor that keeps it really refreshing.
That's a characteristic of our estate vineyard. It tends to have a little bit of a rose petal citrus note to it.
Yeah.
And it comes from the minerality as well in our soil from all the river rock.
Yeah, really pretty. This would be a very nice, what's that? February holiday? Oh, Valentine's Day.
Yes, we are doing a Valentine's Day special, of course.
Yes, this would be a very nice Valentine's Day special. Well, let's talk a little bit more about your commitment to electric charging. I think it's really interesting. I have no idea what the percentage of electric vehicles, I don't even know if it's 1% yet, probably not out there in the country. But do you all see this as something that will be growing as far as winery visits go?
I think we see, with Franciscopo being so far north, Geyserville, that it is, you know, they have to make it from the city to there to get the charging, which is a good thing, kind of why we have the charging. So, in talking with people about it, it seems to be a real urban use, like someplace that you know that your journeys are short because you only have X amount of miles to go. But I think as more wineries come online and Sonoma County gets more charging stations, I think it'll help to make the county a destination, because knowing that you could, once you got up from the city or from even the South Bay, you could make it and then get a charge somewhere. So it'll be interesting to see how it evolves.
That is really interesting, and it's really interesting. I mean, it's interesting for several reasons, but one of the things that strikes me is the first gas crisis, and I may end up having to play this little thing from the first gas crisis after all, but the first gas crisis was really when the Bay Area at large discovered Sonoma County. I'd been living here for quite a while then, and that I was in Petaluma, and I could get to San Francisco in 30 minutes. And if we went to a club, if we went dancing, went to hear music, and you met some people, and they say, oh, man, Sonoma County, what is that? 3 or 4 hours from here? Are you going back tonight? And I knew the whole time. I mean, you could zip from Lakeville, where I lived in Petaluma, up to Santa Rosa. There was never a traffic jam. Zero. If there was a traffic jam, you knew there had been an accident on 101. And then the gas crisis hit. And people, and one person who's very articulate about that is David Viviani, who's now, the, I guess, president emeritus of the cheese factory in Sonoma. And he said people throughout the Bay Area started realizing that they could drive up to Sonoma County, go wine tasting, eat some cheese, go to farms and parks, and it was less, they could do the round trip in less than a tank of gas. So here we are, all these four decades later. And people from the Bay Area can come up for a day trip in their electric cars. That's really, I don't know, I find that fascinating.
It's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how that affects, or as we gain popularity now that we're on things like the radio and people are talking about our charging stations, really how it's going to affect. I know the Sonoma County Air Quality Board, it helped us to obtain our charging station. And so they're really behind getting more charging stations in the county. So another thing to make Sonoma County beautiful and a great place to visit.
Yeah. What goes into it? I mean, is that too technical a question?
What goes into
making a charging station?
To installing, or
yeah, what is it? It's not just a big plug.
No, we worked with West Coast Solar on ours. Our winery is 100% solar powered, so when you come to charge, you're literally charging on sunshine.
Oh,
so
that's interesting.
We worked with them, and it was one of the first times they had installed one as well. So it was kind of new for everybody, but. But it's not a terribly complex process. It's just some electrical work mainly that you have to do, and you purchase the unit from whichever company you choose to go
with. Okay, so you're buying
a unit.
Yeah,
we bought the unit from ChargePoint was our company, and and they helped us guide our setup process. So,
yeah, and the entire winery is solar?
Yeah, 100% solar power. We make more energy than we use, so we also
offer
you're selling
free
charging
back.
As
oh,
well
so
at Indian Family Wines. Yeah.
And then do you also sell some back to...
We do sell a little bit back to PG&E as well, yes. The rates that they give back aren't tremendously good, unfortunately, but we don't do it for that reason. We do it just because we know it's the right thing to
do. Yeah, because it's there, yeah. How about these other Benziger and Coppola?
As far as solar?
Yeah, as far as, like, you buy the charging...
Yeah, I won't get overly technical because I don't want to step outside my skill set here, but it seemed pretty straightforward. We bought a unit from a company called Blink, and our carpenter and our ranch manager, between the two of them, managed to get it up in a day or so. So it seemed pretty straightforward.
Okay, so you're installing a thing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So you would drive up, and it's almost like how you would envision a handicap parking sign. Only it's the solar, the electric charging station unit on a stand. So you see that's where you park, and then whatever little instructions are needed are all right there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Cool. And what powers it?
What powers it?
Yeah. What powers yours?
It's fed into some electrical line under the parking lot.
Okay.
And so ours, we have the two stations, and it was a bit to install due to the draw of power from where we had to go into the property and then dig down and dig in the parking lot that just got finished. So, but we had we took care of that, and it was about 3 or 4 days of work to get it installed. Ours has a system that, down the line, should we ever, it can authorize a credit card, so it has the Ethernet going to it. So when we ran the cable for the electricity, we ran all the wiring so that one day, if we ever needed to, we could,
could charge.
We could charge, but currently the use is so small that we don't see a need to, and we're hoping there's talk of trying to convince Mr. Coppola about going solar and the investment in that. Keep your fingers crossed.
I will. It seems like he's the sort of person that could be convinced.
He just has to read a story somewhere that puts the spark in his mind, much like a car charging station. Then pretty soon it occurs. So it's good.
Okay, cool. Okay, we're going to take another musical break here on Mouthful. We'll be right back and taste some more wines.
Chopping on wood, I got eight slapping pistons right here under my hood. That's right. I met my baby in a used car lot, a drinking cheap wine and a throwing rocks. A magic on wheels, baby. Chopping on wood, I got eight snapping pistons right here under my hood. Let's ride. Stereo. chopping on wood. I gotta eat, slapping pistons right here under my. Let's try.
It's Mouthful. We're talking with three wineries who have charging stations: Francis Ford Coppola Winery, Inman Family Wines, and Benziger Vineyards. And right now, we are going to both hear from and taste some Sauvignon Blanc Signatera. Let's go.
All right. Jessica. So I brought our 2010 Signatera, Sauvignon Blanc. Signatera is a reserve tier for us that's primarily single vineyards and all organic or biodynamically farmed. So this one is from the Russian River Valley.
Nice sound. One of our favorite sounds here on Mouthful. And I'll pass my glass over.
Excellent. So the Signatera tier was born in 2007 and was the result of just a few really amazing properties that we didn't really want to get blended into some larger wines, but highlight the distinctive traits in those vineyards. And this particular wine has been the darling of John Bond at the Chronicle. He's named it in the top 100 wines the last 3 years. So it's something we like to come and share and talk a little bit more about the program. And
Now, this is something that this has a quality that I've noticed the last year or so in a few wines. And it's very distinct in this, and I love it. And that's the taste and aroma of fresh jalapeno. Just astonishing on that first sip.
Sure.
Now I'm really hungry. I want a taco.
People comment on that a lot. Just a little bit of heat, not from the alcohol, but like you're saying, from this real unusual characteristic that is part the cool climate of the vineyard. It's up actually near the Santa Rosa Junior College. It's one of their teaching vineyards.
Up near Shen Farm. Yeah. Amazing vineyard up there.
So it's really, for Sauv Blanc in the Russian River, it's on this plateau above the fog line, and it has some warmth to it, but also just a lot of minerality in that kind of classic cool climate. So you get a whole breadth of flavor profile.
Yeah, I really, really like that quality. I tend to prefer that quality over the citrus qualities, especially when you start getting into some of the grapefruit and tangelo and that sort of thing. I love the fresh jalapeno flavor.
It's definitely distinctive to this wine and consistent vintage to vintage, and kind of grabs you in a varietal where things can get kind of
stagnant,
bland, for lack of a better word. You know, it definitely grabs you.
Yeah, it really does. What does it sell for?
It sells for $27, and it is organically grown grapes.
Okay, everything that Benziger does is.
Well, we have three tiers. We have certified sustainable, certified organic, and certified biodynamic. So, all have a green third party verified statement.
Great. And how many wines overall are you making in those programs?
In those three categories?
Yeah.
Benziger's probably about, goodness, over 24, probably closer to 30, with a fair amount of that going into our wine clubs.
So you mean 30,000 cases?
No, I meant 30 different wines.
Oh, 30 different wines. Okay. Oh, 30 different wines, really?
But a bulk of that is going into our wine clubs. So members are getting wines that were crafted exclusively for their program that were really, really small productions. So, you know, 10 years ago, we were making much larger blends out of larger appellations. And so you have fewer overall products, right? But now if you're making 200, 300 cases of things that are really special vineyard blends, then you end up with more wines.
Do you have any of the lesser known, less common varietals in those wine club programs? Anything?
Benziger is really traditional with Sauvignon Blanc, Chard, Pinot Noir, and Cabernet and Bordeaux blends. But, of course, our sister winery, Imagery, which is Joe Benziger's winery and just down the street from us. And we absolutely, you know, everything goes back and forth, and our encourage our guests to, and definitely our staff as well. Mm-hmm. And imagery is all about unusual varietals. So over there, you can taste Lagrange and White Burgundy and Sangiovese and Tempranillo and Grenache mm-hmm. all in the same day. So definitely.
I just tasted an Albarino from Miramar Torres.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's lovely. It's really lovely, and it's available exclusively to members of the wine club. So
neat.
I think we should taste a Coppola wine now.
Okay. Very good. So the wine we're going to be tasting is the 2010 Vautre Sante Pinot Noir.
Did Marlo Daniel tell you that that is one of my favorites?
Maybe.
I love this wine. I just love it.
It's pretty amazing. It started out in a little different form. It was a Sonoma County wine with fruit from Russian River. And as its popularity grew, we decided to source the fruit for it from a couple different counties. We have a little bit of Mendo in there, some Sonoma, and then a little bit of Monterey. Hold on, here goes the cork. There we go. This wine, and in doing that, the price reduced. So we're mm-hmm. selling this wine for $14 a bottle.
I'm going to pass mine. It
just won a gold at the San Francisco Wine Competition, so we're excited about that.
Great.
Yay, we love that.
It's a very, you know, one of the things I've seen happening with a lot of Pinot Noir in recent years, and I saw it happen, not identically, but similarly with Merlot a few years ago, is that the higher the price, the greater the extraction. And there just seemed to be this obligation that if you were going to charge more for it, you were going to, you know, just draw out as much as you could. And there mm-hmm. were, it made for a lot of very difficult to drink Merlots. Mm-hmm. Merlots trying to dress up as Cabernets, and that wasn't working. And it made for a lot of over-extracted Pinots. And so sometimes, not exclusively, but sometimes you can look to a well-made, lower-priced Pinot like this one, and then you get all of that delicacy and beauty, which is what mm-hmm. I really love about a Pinot. So let's try it here. And I love the color. It almost matches my dress. That beautiful silky feel on the palate.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Corey Beck, our general manager and lead winemaker, and his team do an incredible job making these wines and really taking the best lots from kind of the many growers that we purchase from and focusing them into wines that have a profile of a flavor. And I think this Vautre Sante is an incredible wine. Has a little story behind it. It's named, or it's kind of, Vautre Sante was a term that France's grandmother used, and she was an Italian born in Tunisia. And so as a child, he remembers her speaking Italian, French, Arabic, and English. And as the whole family would toast salute, as the Italians do, she would toast a Vautre Sante to your health. And so he kind of wanted to kind of add this to her. It's a Pinot that's different in style than most of our other Pinots. It's a lighter, more mm-hmm. kind of European style, less lower alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really great Pinot that's really easy to drink. And we also make a Chard in this group as well. So it's just the two, the really cute kind of cut lace label.
Yeah, yes, I love that label. But yeah, it's the sort of wine that if you really like that European style, delicate Pinot, and don't spend a lot of money for your nightly glasses of wine. It's just perfect. I keep meaning to come up and get a case, and I'm going to do that because I think it's really quite lovely. Thank you. We're on the subject of Coppola, maybe we can spend just a couple minutes on your, what's it called, Tasting in the Dark. Which is, Tasting in the Dark, you taste the wines without seeing them.
Yes.
In a very interesting way, and I've done it once.
Oh.
Yeah, I did it. I did the whole thing.
Oh,
and it's very interesting. And the thing that I think that I liked best about it, first of all, you're blindfolded. But you're blindfolded early enough that by the time that you get to where you're going to taste, you're completely disoriented in that you can't visualize where you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really good. And that makes your imagination do certain things. And I know that some of the people I tasted with cheated. Because you can, you know, squint your nose and that sort of thing and sort of look down and see a little bit out mm-hmm. the bottom of your blindfold. I didn't do that. So I was completely in the dark the whole time. I wanted to have fun, you know.
Right.
But it's very interesting. And that's available to the public like once or twice a month?
It is. The next one we have coming up is in February. And so we don't have them all the time, and because they are led by a young gentleman who is a student at UC Davis. Mm-hmm. He has never had sight,
right?
And he's getting his degree in kind of winemaking, and we found him, and he comes to us. He has to get transportation to come to it, yeah. So it's kind of a special thing. It's really incredible that, you know, from Francis reading an article somewhere about a tasting in the dark, and then it was like, can we figure out how to make this work? And 6 months later, we have this young gentleman coming to us and helping us do this program. You know, the sensory aspect of it, or he really helped us kind of design the program, was that people be deprived of their sense of sight from the beginning of it and mm-hmm. walk the long way from yeah. where they're first blindfolded to the room, to really help them kind of build your senses or your yeah. other senses become more aware, right? Yeah. Your sound of hearing and smell and all those things.
Yeah, it's really effective. Very, very effective. Mm. I loved that part of it. I just thought that it was the perfect feed-in to what the experience was going to be. And it's so interesting because when you take off your blindfold, at least for me, it looked I was nowhere where I had visualized. It was a completely different room. My position in the room was completely different. So I just found it fascinating. And really, when you think about it, there's not that many experiences in the world where we can get one of our senses completely taken off the table and then indulge the others. So I find it fascinating.
It's very interesting. I have yet to do it myself.
Oh, you should do it.
The tours are always full. I'm like, can I get on? No, we're too full. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, sometimes you have to do it because it's very interesting. So, okay, I'm going to take another sip of this wine. Now, we're going to come back to Dane. Did you bring a second wine?
I brought three more. We don't have to drink all of them, but I didn't know
what
we were
interested in. Well, we've got more
time.
We can taste some more. So far we've tasted tell us the name of the sparkling again.
It's our 2009 Inman Family Wine Brut Rosé Nature Sparkling Wine.
Brut Rosé Nature. And what's it sell for?
The price point is $56
on it. Okay, and you made very few cases.
Only 140, and more than half of those are already gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Available at the winery?
Available at the winery and online as well at InmanFamilyWines.com. And I've also got our Estate Pinot Noir, if you guys would like to try it as well. It's our 2007 Estate.
This is where I first discovered Inman was with your Pinot Noir.
Yes, it's kind of what we're known for. It's what we're proudest of. Yeah, it's all from our estate, and we have about 7.5 acres that we grow of Pinot Noir organically. We also have a tiny bit of Pinot Gris we grow as well, but this is kind of what we're known for and what we're proudest of. Mm-hmm. 2007 was a wonderful year. Beautiful sunshine, even temperatures. It made a smooth wine, nice low alcohol, but still complex, and it's aging very nicely as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to get somebody else to describe this wine, just so I'm not the only one yammering about the qualities.
Well, it's tough. You know, we're on the radio. Usually, we try not to describe our wines in the tasting room. We like
just
to hear
to
what
people
think.
It.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
So I do know a few things, but I try to keep it on the low. But when you're on the radio, obviously people want to hear about it because
sure.
they can't taste
what,
it.
What is the alcohol? I like that it's low alcohol, and I love this trend towards lower alcohol wines are finally appearing again in California.
Yeah, it's an awesome trend. That
yes, you can drink more. You know?
Well, yeah, that's the idea.
You're going to wake up feeling okay.
That's the idea. You don't fall asleep on the sofa as easily, we yeah. like to say. So yeah, it's only about 13.4%. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of right where we like it when we're making our wines. But as I said, we are natural winemakers, so we don't add anything to our wines.
Now, what does that mean?
Means, like I said, we don't add anything to our wines.
For somebody who doesn't understand winemaking, what would be things that you might be adding? We know that sometimes you add sulfur. Sometimes people add sulfur. But
yeah, sometimes people, and it's a wonderful thing if you do add them. I've worked at wineries where they do, and sometimes in order to maybe maintain consistency, you might have to add some acidity to your wine, some sugars, maybe more alcohol, just minor adjustments, which is standard in the industry, and it's not, there's nothing wrong with that, but we choose a natural method. So we rely heavily on our fruit, what the year gives us, and the time of year that we actually pick the fruit. Mm-hmm. And we tend to pick about a week earlier than everybody else, which means we have lower sugar in our grapes, mm-hmm. and that means we're going to have lower alcohols in our wine. So that's kind of our method and how Kathleen Inman likes to make her wines.
To add, what do you do to add acidity?
I'm not
I don't
entirely,
mean you. I mean anyone can add.
Well, there's additives. Not that I know firsthand from my brands, but people put tartaric acid and just, I mean, as if you're making Kool-Aid, you can add scoops of stuff. Yeah. So I've heard.
So, the main thing I know about is oak chips. Oak chips and sugar.
That can be added.
I hadn't really talked about the adding acid, but it seems to me, I mean, partly, we're in Sonoma County.
Right.
Let the grapes do the talking, you know?
Well, it's funny you say oak chips because if 8 years ago someone were to say in a tour, we use oak chips inside the stainless steel tanks to make our Chardonnay, the winemaker would have choked you out. You would have been murdered. But really, oak chips are not as bad a thing these days because it's more green. You know, and a barrel gets used for a year or two and then it's discarded either as a planter barrel or disassembled. And so now it gives another use for that. So it's really not as bad a thing as oak chips used to be, which is kind of cool because we can say, look at, and even after the oak chips are used, they make great wood for barbecue to smoke your meats.
So those chips that you see in bags, they can be like an inch and a half thick and long. Mm-hmm. Those are the chips?
Those are the chips.
Oh, so it's not something that looks like sawdust, which is kind of what I pictured.
Right. No, it's just a little square and it's, they call it the tea bag and it's just put inside of the netting and it's an old barrel that's been recycled and cut up into chips.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
See how green the things we're learning tonight, right?
Yes.
It makes the wine better. Why not? You know,
exactly.
Absolutely.
So this is a lovely Pinot.
Thank you.
It's a little, it's got this dark foundation that doesn't come from over extraction. That just comes from the fruit. It's almost, oh gosh, it makes me think a little bit of licorice root, which to me is a good thing.
Yeah, it's a Provençal style Pinot Noir, and it's like I said, we shoot for higher acidity and lower alcohols. It's great for food pairing. That's kind of our main concern. Our wines, we're all huge foodies, so
this is a wine that would be really, really good with winter mushrooms.
Oh, absolutely!
Winter mushroom risotto with some braised, pretty
one of
sturdy
Kathleen's
greens.
Favorite things to cook,
like,
actually, yes.
Lacinato kale, braised Lacinato kale with mushroom risotto.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it has a lot of really nice spices in the aroma. I mean, it just reminds me of holidays in this time of year. Really, really beautiful nose.
Yeah. So, do we have something else from Coppola?
We have.
I'm just going around the table here.
I have a cab, so maybe Jess has. I'd see.
Maybe. I have another Pinot. It's Pinot Night
let's
over here.
Yes, let's do a Pinot.
This side of the table.
We're in the Russian River Valley. It's all good.
Russian River. Ours, this is also part of our Signatera series. It's from a vineyard called Bella Luna. And the label says Russian River because we find that to be more knowledgeable, that our guests recognize the name, but technically it's in Green Valley, Appalachian.
Oh, Green Valley, whereabouts?
That is a very good question. It's a very small vineyard. It's about 8 acres, and it is off of, I don't know.
It's okay. We'll find out.
The name escapes me.
I live in the Green Valley, Appalachian, so nice. I'm always interested. I might be able to see it from my
backyard.
I could
draw you a map in my mind. So this is our 2009.
Okay, I'm sending my glass over.
And these grapes are certified biodynamic. This is actually, I like to talk about this vineyard because it's a good example of how we work with our grower partners at Benziger. Everything we do on our estate, and we have also the estate at Imagery, and then we have a Pinot out on the Bodega Coast. So those are all biodynamic, but a lot of the growers we worked with continue to work with are either sustainable or maybe we'll find them and they're doing traditional or conventional farming. Mm-hmm. And to be a part of our program, they have to go down the sustainability journey. Bella Luna was identified early on as a site that our team thought had so much potential. They really wanted to get them to go biodynamic. And so they went from conventional to sustainable to organic and to biodynamic. So all through in the course of about 4 years, we got the biodynamic certification. So sharing what we've learned and doing a lot of feedback with our partners throughout the vintage and tasting wines throughout the year has convinced a lot of our partners that this is not just green and good for the environment, but really a way to make really superior wines mm-hmm. and stuff that we're all excited to drink and be a part of.
Mm-hmm. I went to a seminar, wondering if it was at Benziger or Imagery. It was a seminar with, is it Nicolas
Jollet?
Nicolas Jollet. Many years ago. Must have
probably
been,
was at Benziger.
Yeah, about 8 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah, he does a thing called an event, actually, for trade and media and consumers to a lesser extent called Return to Terroir. And it was in New York a couple of years and then in San Francisco as well. So it probably was.
Probably then. And
on
he
the heels
was
of that.
Brilliant. And we recorded it, and I felt so sad for my engineer. Something went wrong, and we didn't get any of his talk. But he's from the Loire Valley, mm-hmm. if I'm correct, and absolutely brilliant when he talks about biodynamics. And if you're hearing the term biodynamics thrown around a lot tonight, I'm going to be doing a whole hour on biodynamics.
Really?
Sometime I want to get Elizabeth Candelario.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. From the Demeter Association.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking I'd probably get somebody from Benziger and get a couple, pull in. I'd love to get Lou Preston. Lou Preston has just gone, you know, very far into biodynamics, as has Ridgely Evers at DeVero. So sometime, probably, I'm guessing probably in March, maybe in February, we'll be doing a whole hour on biodynamics.
Oh, great. Really, yeah, we'd love to be a part of that conversation.
Okay.
Absolutely.
It's a deal. It's a deal.
That was easy.
So,
and I was just curious, actually, because I get this question a lot in our tasting room, even though we do some biodynamic practices at Immon Family Wines, but do you add sulfites to biodynamic wine, or is that not allowed in biodynamic wines?
It is allowed in a very modest amount. So mm-hmm. there's a guideline, a parts per million that is
less. Okay, yeah, I was just interested. I wasn't sure.
But the philosophy in general is to be as minimalist as possible. So a lot like the approach that you were describing earlier, we try to be as hands-off as makes sense. It's not about our winemaker style or ego or awards, really. It's about letting the grapes express themselves. And almost all of our for certain, all of our biodynamic wines, but many of our organic wines as well are native yeasts. We're trying not to do any artificial yeast, but indigenous and
native fermentations all the
way.
Absolutely. Possible, yeah.
Yeah, the tenets of biodynamics are really, really interesting. Really interesting. And the way that it involves the farmer so intimately.
The connection.
With the land.
Mm-hmm,
is, definitely. Ridgely Evers is really articulate on that. And then if you go up to Preston Vineyards and just look at the way he's branched out, the compost tea that he makes mm-hmm. and just all the different elements he's added far beyond winemaking. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating topic. It's great to see this stuff going on in Sonoma County. This is a lovely Pinot Noir.
Thank you. Thank you very
really
much.
Really beautiful. Wow, we have had three fabulous Pinot Noirs tonight.
Pinot night.
Mm. Very, very good. And so now We have
Archimedes.
You brought Archimedes.
I did bring Archimedes.
Oh my goodness.
So this is a wine for us in its third vintage.
In a black box.
Comes in a little box. Interesting. Where we get these things, I don't know. Francis has a lot of ideas about things.
You know, Francis is extremely hands-on involved. This is not a winery in name only by any means.
By any means. And, you know, it's funny because I think people think, oh, Francis Coppola, you know, he's like this big guy, isn't involved in truly everything that, thank you, Jessica, mm-hmm. everything that goes through the winery as a part of things has his hand on it, has his stamp. But, you know, I now oversee events for the property. We have a kids' Easter egg hunt every year, and I sent out to get a flyer made. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what's taking it so long? Francis had to approve it. I was like, it's an egg Easter egg hunt flyer. And they're like, no, Francis has to approve it. So it's really, he's really involved in everything. And, you know, he's incredible. He has so much going on, yet he is always involved in every bit of piece to make sure it's going in the correct direction. So this is our Archimedes. This is the new vintage. It's the 07. And this just, again, won gold at the San Francisco Wine Competition, mm-hmm. San Francisco Chronicle. So we're very excited about it. This vintage, 97% Cab, 3% Cab Franc. Mm-hmm. And grapes come from... some of the Cab comes from the estate in Geyserville, and then as well as a vineyard in northern Alexander Valley, a little bit of Cab from Knights, and the Cab Franc comes from Knights as well.
Knights Valley, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you age this?
We age it in oak. It's been about 24 months in barrel, 60% new, 40% used, 1 to 1 year old. So, Agent Oak, Corey and the winemaking team wanted to leave it on oak a little bit longer so it could really become more expressive of kind of the tannins and the wine itself by spending its time in oak. So,
it's, you know, this is a beautiful, beautiful cab. I had it the first time I came out. I love Otavala. I love Otavala. It's Tuesday night at Rustic, the restaurant at Coppola Winery, and you just have to go to experience. You just have to go. Take a deep breath, relax, and let the night carry you.
Exactly. It was, you know, designed for, Francis wanted it so that people could come and just sit and try many different things, much as a kid growing up. His mom, you really never knew it was going to come out of the kitchen. It was kind of like, stay out of the kitchen and go sit down, and it's coming. So it's favorites of our chefs, and it's the one night that Francis kind of lets everybody go wild and kind of deviate. There's no set menu, so you show up on Tuesday, you sit down, and then everyone dressed in their kind of Italian 30s, 40s costume.
Yeah, Marge, his costume Marge designer, Bowers. She's dressed everyone?
She's got everyone dressed, so, you know, young ladies' dresses, aprons, the gentlemen kind of, you know, looking a little bit rougher than normal, so...
I like the pregnant women, the very young pregnant women with a martini in one hand and a cigarette in the other.
Yes, it is all characterized, right? Everyone plays a part in this crazy family, and it's like one big Italian family serving you, and the food just comes out randomly, and you choose what you'd like to eat, kind of like dim sum.
Yeah.
And then we just stamp your card.
Yeah, it's like Italian dim sum.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what? Hours fly.
Fly.
You know, they fly here on Mouthful. So we have to do some wrapping up. The main focus of this hour has been the new charging stations at three local wineries. Let's start with Inman. You were the first to have the charging stations. When are you open to the public?
We are open. Our tasting room is open Thursday through Monday, 11 to 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And I should say, Dane Gaffney, what is your position at the winery?
I am wearer of many hats. Okay. I am pretty much the only closest thing to full-time employee we have. So okay. I do live
there. So if we go to the
tasting room,
we might see you.
Absolutely. Okay. Kathleen will also be there most of the time
okay.
as well.
And we could, you can charge one car at a time.
You may charge one car at a time.
And there's no cost for
absolutely
charging.
Absolutely no cost. We'll be happy to give you a tour of the winery as well as free tasting.
And it takes about...
About 45 minutes, as long as it takes for us to enjoy a little tasting with
okay, you. Very good. Okay, and at Coppola, you can, first of all, 300 Archimedes, Geyserville.
Yep, 300 via Archimedes, Geyserville.
Via Archimedes
in Geyserville. So we're open daily from 11 to 6 in the tasting room, and our restaurant, Rustic, Francis' Favorites, is open daily from 11 to 9. Otavala, a special night on Tuesdays, which we're going to have it on Valentine's Day this year.
Tasting menu.
Yes.
$49, which includes wine pairings.
Correct. So three courses, each paired with our wines, and $49 in Rustic. So we have that going on as well.
And the park will open in May? April?
April.
Hallelujah.
Weekends in April. So everyone, you know, get ready. Here comes swimsuit weather.
Yes. And if you need a muffaletta...
It's the place to go.
It's the place to go, and you can get it at the bar. And then Benziger Family Winery. Family Winery. Thank you. It's
no
Jessica
problem.
Labonte from Benziger, and you're open when?
We are every day, 7 days a week, 10 to 5, and our tours begin at 11.
Okay. Do any of you charge for tasting at the entry level?
We do. We charge we do. 10.
10?
10 as well.
10?
Seven.
Okay, there you go. I didn't play that little thing I was going to play about, it's just this little gem about the first gas crisis, but here's what I'm going to do. Mouthful has a Facebook page, and if you can post MP3 files, which I believe you can, by the end of the night, I'm going to put Harv Kirshner's Happy Face Motors up on Mouthful's Facebook page. It's 2.5 minutes long, and I guarantee it will give you a really good laugh. So thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check back next weekend when we're going to do our annual Atlantic Seaboard wine tasting here on Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thanks so much for my guests for a great hour here on KRCB.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too, and he'll sing to the Lord.